What kind of houses did the First Nations people around Prince George traditionally live in over the winter? And if you don't know the answer, you probably are not alone. But Vince Prince and Jennifer Pidgeon are trying to change that. They're leading a new course at the University of Northern BC that will see students building a pit house. And they both join me in studio now. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. What is a pit house? Let's start with that.
Well, it's a partially submerged dwelling, typically log. And it was built around the region, right through the whole Carrier region. And again, it's probably a structure and a design that's incorporated from the southern interior, where there's much, much more of them.
So what do they look like if you come across one?
They are circular for the most part. The ones in one of the old settlements in Chinlack were rectangular, but for the most part, the other ones were all circular. And they were anywhere from about 15 to 25 feet across and about 9, 10 feet in the air, but dug into the ground about 3 feet.
And I was reading the course outline. It says that the Kletlitene would live in them over the winter. Maybe just go a little bit more into how they would have been used.
Yes, they're more typical of winter dwelling. There was a lot of lean-tos. They used a lot of lean-tos for more of the summer dwellings when they moved around quite a bit because, of course, hunter-gatherers, very mobile, and a lot of areas that they covered. So
the pit houses were more permanent?
They're more permanent, yes.
Okay. How widespread were they? Do we have a sense of that?
Well, I guess pit houses have been used around the world in different sort of formats, but like Vince said, mostly down in the southern region that had more of them.
And I guess they never really captured the popular imagination, as it were, the way teepees did.
Well, teepees were more of a plain thing.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Were, the plains and the right through, I guess, part of eastern Canada as opposed to here.
And so how did you wind up teaching this course? I understand you know how to make them.
Well, yeah, I started by reading. My dad was a bit of a linguist and was going through Father Maurice's books.
Father Maurice, a historian who?
Yes, and a linguist as well, and developed the Carrier syllabic language. And so he was translating those both into Carrier, spoken Carrier, and to English. And as he was going through one of the books, we were looking at some pictures of pit houses that he had visited in the Inzana Lake area, which is about an hour out of Fort St. James. And he had drawn pictures of them. And my dad said, you should make one. And I said, yeah, that's a good idea. And so I did. mine took about a year and a half, but we're going to do this one in 3.5 weeks.
And we should say that these drawings, these are not recent drawings. These are from close to 100 years ago.
Yeah, these are the 1860s.
Yeah, so it's not as if you were able to go talk to Father Maurice about how these looked.
No, and he only wrote 2 paragraphs on the structure itself. And so he talked about, you know, being 8 paces across and 1.5 man's high and those types of things. No measuring tapes, no sticks, anything like that.
So what was it like trying to figure out how to build this structure with no real-world examples, just a few paragraphs?
Well, I can tell you that the mistakes I made, we won't make up at UNBC.
All right. So, Jennifer, maybe you can go into a bit about how this course actually works.
It's one of the experiential learning grant courses. So we applied through UMBC for a special grant to make this course happen. It takes a little extra time and effort in regards to getting, you know, permissions for where to build it and all of those things. So Antonio Mills kind of came up with the idea and we took it from there, put in the applications, applied with Clately to have their endorsement, got some elders involved. We've even got high school students, grade 12 students involved. And hopefully when the Canada Winter Games come, the whole goal is for the 25th anniversary, the 100 years, and Canada Winter Games to host tours. And the students who have participated will have that opportunity to share their experience.
So the plan is for this pit house to be a permanent structure on the UNBC campus?
Yes, the structure will be permanent, and it's going to be used for not only just the tours, but for ceremony and for education in regards to our local DACA culture.
And you feel pretty confident you can build a permanent structure over the course of a month with a bunch of people who've never done it before?
I think yesterday's experience and progress really proved that I think we can definitely do this.
Let's talk about what you did yesterday. You posted some photos online. It's not your typical first day of class.
No. I had gone in on Canada Day on Tuesday and just cleared a trail so that we could have a bit of a ceremony to sort of bless the land that we were on, and got that started. But basically, we were in raw bush and thick. You could barely walk through it. And now we have the whole site cleared. We have the logs that we need for the main part of the structure, and those are in place. One of the things I've noticed in my life, and that's from a lot of years of construction, because we have to dig holes and put those logs in it, we actually finished a little bit early yesterday because you don't dig holes because people fall in it if you don't put something in it right away. So we stopped there, which was my goal for the day was to get those logs in place and have that land cleared out.
It sounds like a really great experience from a student perspective, but why does it matter to the northern BC? Why does it matter that people know how to build pit houses and they can see one?
Well, I think for me, I spent a number of years running a tourism business, and I saw just so much draw just based on people asking questions about culture, about, you know, where did you live, how did you live? And when you actually see that and you experience going into the pit house, and whether you're spending the night there or you're going in and just telling some stories and listening to some songs, that culture and that, I guess, the architecture that went into these things is gone now. Like I was telling the students yesterday, you know what? Probably it's been a couple hundred years since anybody's built one around here. And, you know, you have to be proud of that. You sort of realize that this is something. And again, you know what? I mean, they talk about using geothermal heating and stuff. Once you're into the ground a little bit, and it starts to make a lot of sense in terms of energy efficiency.
And Jennifer, you were involved in a similar course where students learned how to build a traditional canoe, and now you're involved in this one. Why is it important to you to see these skills revived in a younger generation?
I think it really helps build identity and helps people understand the local culture a little bit more. It also, through the course, gives students who are participating in it and even visitors an opportunity to look at their own culture and see all the similarities and really kind of get involved with it. I really enjoy the fact that it's a cultural sort of revival that's happening, not just here, but I see it happening in nations all around us.
And I know you both have a field trip today, so I will let you get ready for another day of teaching. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
That is Vince Prince and Jennifer Nays-Pagan. They are the instructors leading a new course at UNBC, taking students through the process of building a traditional pit house. And you'll be able to follow along with that through their website. We will tweet a link to that. Just follow us at Daybreak North.